prophet Isaiah spoke to people who were living in a troubled time, and he looked into God's future and said these words: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Lord, you have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as people, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And each went to their own towns to be registered. And Joseph also went up from Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. He went with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you.
that region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you tidings of good news which shall come to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, after the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the things that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds went away, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Each year we read the Christmas story, and it's just that, it's a story. And it's become something of a tradition here on Christmas Eve, not to preach a sermon really, but to tell a story. So here's one, here's a story that I know. Evan Wheeler left the drugstore in a hurry. He brushed past the man ringing the bell, seeking a contribution for the poor. There was a time when Evan would have dropped at least his change into the bucket, but now he didn't give it a thought. There was always someone in need, and frankly, he was more than a little bit jaded these days. Besides, Evan had too much on his mind to be thinking about anyone else. His Christmas shopping was finally completed, and he barely had enough time to rush home before church. Church. He looked up at the freezing rain and thought of it as maybe a gift. Maybe Sarah wouldn't want to venture out on such a night, he thought. But immediately he knew better. It was Christmas Eve, and Sarah wouldn't be anywhere but church on Christmas Eve. It meant too much to her, with the candlelight and the carols and the child. Evan, however, could do without all three. Didn't have time for Faith. He was older and wiser now. At best, Faith was sentimental junk food, and at worst, it was another way to separate you from your wallet. He had plenty to worry about himself, with the tight economy and having to step lightly at work just in case his job was the next one on the line. How would Faith help with any of that? God never put a meal on a table. God never paid Evan's medical bills. This world was a survival of the fittest kind of a place. And all the God talk in the world wouldn't change that a bit. Evan had to bear that burden all by himself. And neither Sarah, nor his mother, nor anyone else knew how worried he really was. Evan gripped his package tightly. He'd done all his Christmas shopping in one day. Actually, he'd done it all in 20 minutes. Sarah had chosen the gifts for the kids, and for his mother, and for the rest of his family, leaving him only Sarah to worry about. He had gotten her favorite perfume, but he did not remember that he had gotten her that same perfume for Christmas last year. When he finally did get home, dinner was on the table. His favorite, pot roast, which Evan noticed but did not mention. Sarah and the kids were already dressed for church, so he wouldn't be getting out of that. As they drove to church, Vanessa and Marty in the back seat were all excited about being angels in the Christmas pageant that night. No wonder freezing rain wouldn't keep us from church, Evan thought. My kids have a part in the play. He did remember that the pageant took the place of the preaching at the early service, and so he thought, at least I won't have to suffer through another sermon. While Evan could usually tolerate the woman preacher, her husband was insufferable in the pulpit. And with Evan's luck, it would be his turn this Christmas. The kids scurried off to the choir room to get ready for the pageant while Sarah pulled Evan toward one of the front pews against his better judgment. Evan took out a $1 bill and carefully prepared it for the offering, intricately folding it so whoever sat next to him in the pew wouldn't be able to see the number on the bill. He told himself he wasn't being cheap because he knew Sarah was overly generous to the church. And with his money, no less. Well, the carols weren't bad. Evan would never admit it, but he actually enjoyed singing Christmas carols. They reminded him of a time when he actually believed in something. Now he knew better. Evan smiled to himself in mid-verse. It would take a Christmas carol to get him to believe again, he thought. Not the "O come all ye faithful" kind, but rather the Charles Dickens version, the one with the three spirits. Not to worry there, though, he thought. He was sure he would never see a spirit in church. Well, there was a prayer, there was another carol, and then the pageant began. The prophet Isaiah thundered out his vision that unto us a child is born, except the prophet was a sixth grader who hadn't memorized his lines very well and really didn't thunder them too much. Then Mary and Joseph appeared, and they read the story from Luke, and the narrator intoned in a kind of a squeaky voice how Joseph had to go to his home to be registered in the great census of the Emperor Augustus, and how Mary was expecting a baby, and how she had to go too, and the holy couple, all of 12 years old, walked across the front of the chancel while Mary adjusted the pillow underneath her robe. Joseph helped Mary right up the steps toward a painted cardboard cutout doorway. And here, of course, was the Bethlehem Hotel. And Joseph's knock was answered by a stocky boy wearing a brown bathrobe with orange stripes, the innkeeper. "Please, may we have a room?" Joseph asked. "My wife is about to have a baby." "No room," the boy bellowed on cue. "There is no room in the inn. You can stay in the barn if you like." Sadly, Mary and Joseph turned away. But the innkeeper wasn't done. "No room," he bellowed again, this time turning toward the congregation. "There is no room in Evan Wheeler's heart." "What?" Evan sat up as though he'd stuck his finger in a light socket. His face was flush. "What did that boy say?" The innkeeper turned quickly and closed his cardboard door. Sarah, sitting right next to him, did not seem to have heard. No one looked surprised or annoyed at this sudden interruption. And the pageant went on as Mary and Joseph headed back to the stable in the middle of the chancel. "He must have been daydreaming," Evan concluded, as he often did daydream during sermons. That was the only explanation, but still, the boy's voice echoed in his ears. No room in Evan Wheeler's heart. What on earth could that be all about? Well, Mary and Joseph were now seated safely on bales of hay, surrounded by barnyard animals who were actually kids with papier-mâché donkey faces and ox heads. Quite well done. Now, however, attention shifted to stage left, where shepherds with broom-handle crooks were gathering on the steps, keeping watch over their preschoolers, who were all dressed in wool and softly and not so softly baaing. From behind the baptismal font, the angel of the Lord zoomed into view on top of a wheeled stepladder. Not a bad effect, actually. "Fear not," came the delicate voice of this cardboard-winged creature. "Fear not, for I bring you good news of a great joy for all the people." Evan started to look for Vanessa and Marty, knowing that the angel choir would soon be appearing from the heavens. But instead, he got that sixth sense that something was out of line. Something was out of order. Something wasn't right. And he looked back at the angel of the Lord, who had finished her speech and yet clearly was not yet finished. Her brown eyes searching the congregation until she found Evan. "Fear not," she said again. "Fear not, Evan Wheeler." And for the second time, he could not believe his ears, and for the second time, neither Sarah nor anyone else seemed to notice. Fear not, he wasn't afraid of anything, he thought. And then suddenly he was overwhelmed by the things he was afraid of, the fears that he would not let himself feel, the fears that he pushed down deep down every day. Everything from losing his job to losing his mother to being lost in his marriage. He might have fallen to the floor under the sudden burden of it all if it hadn't been for that oak pew he was sitting in. He almost missed Marty and Vanessa, their halos slipping and somehow laughing with delight while they were singing "Away in a Manger" to the shepherds. He looked at their faces and thought they're growing up so fast that it almost hurts. And that's why, he thought grimly to himself, that's why I hold them at a distance. It's safer that way. Not surprisingly, the pageant was faithful to the original script that comes from the gospel. And so the angels left and went off into heaven, or backstage, or wherever it is angels go when they're not appearing, leaving the shepherds to decide what to do. Should they follow the angels' advice or not? It was the tallest shepherd who stood among his friends and said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us." And one would have expected that this little band of terry cloth saints would trundle a few steps across the sanctuary to the manger, but no. No, things went off script one more time. Now it was the tall shepherd who was looking out into the crowd, and Evan knew whose face he was seeking. "Go and see, Evan Wheeler, go and see." This time, Evan did not look to see if anyone else had heard his name. He knew that these words were addressed to him and him alone. However it was that he had gotten to this place in his life, this cynical place, this place of disillusionment, and this place that was, yes, lonely, he wasn't sure. But however he had gotten there, it was time for him to go. It was time to leave this place and go. Go and see whether there was another life out there waiting for him. A new life. A better life. A life that, if you took the shepherd's word for it, just might begin in Bethlehem. He heard those three voices echoing inside his brain. "No room in your heart, Evan Wheeler. Fear not, Evan Wheeler. Go and see, Evan Wheeler." Altogether, there was a message there, a message that struck his heart. Was it the children who had spoken to him? Or was it another voice that had called his name? It didn't really matter, because Evan said yes. "Yes," he said silently to the innkeeper, "I have closed off my heart. I've closed the door of my heart to the poor and the lonely who are everywhere around. And I've closed the door of my heart to those closest to me, my wife and my children." "Yes," he said to the angel, "I am afraid. And my fear of what might happen crushes any gladness that I might find in what is happening." "Yes," he said silently to the shepherd, "I must go to Bethlehem and look into the eyes of the Christ child, and maybe there I'll see a reflection of the man I once wanted to be, the man I still could become. And then," Evan made a promise, I will go. I will go and look into the Christ child's eye, and then I'll see the man that I will become with God's help." He reached over and took his wife's hand, which startled her. And she looked at him and began to sense something different. She smiled hesitantly but gratefully. And then together they looked up at the angel chorus that had now reappeared in the stable, where Vanessa and Marty were looking down on the manger with eyes that were filled with laughter. "Joy to the world," they were singing and laughing. All the children were. "Joy to the world." And Evan heard the words as though for the first time. "Let every heart prepare him room." Every heart. Every heart, Evan thought, Maybe, Evan wondered, maybe there had been a spirit in the church after all. Evan Wheeler was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more, and it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. And in the words of our friend Charles Dickens, may that truly be said of us, of all of us. God bless us, everyone. Amen. The Gospel of John tells the Christmas story this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. In him was life, and this life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. and we have beheld his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son. The light that shone at the beginning of creation shone again from a manger in Bethlehem. It shone again in the person of Jesus. Every time he healed the sick, every time he spoke the truth, every time he lifted the spirits and spoke to the soul. The light shone from the face of Jesus on a cross. And the light shone again from a tomb that was empty. And the light shines now in all the dark places of our world, in hospital rooms, in places of loneliness and despair, on battlefields, on city streets where violence is a way of life. And this light shines into the dark corners of all of our hearts. So tonight, let us sing of that light that shone on a silent night in Bethlehem so long ago. Let it shine anew into the dark corners of our world. Let it shine anew into the dark places in our hearts. Let it be reflected through our words and our deeds of love. For Christ's sake, for the sake of the child of Bethlehem, the child who is no longer a child, but the Savior of the world. And let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every sin repent, let every heart.
Life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who travel with us. So let us be swift to love and make haste to be kind.
And may the song of the angels, the joy of the shepherds, the wisdom of the wise ones be your gifts this Christmas and always. Hallelujah. Amen.
Going to Bethlehem, 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 see that baby, going to Bethlehem, see that child, going to Bethlehem, see that baby, going to Bethlehem, gonna take a walk. Going to Bethlehem, 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 see that baby, going to Bethlehem, see that child, going to Bethlehem, see that baby, going to Bethlehem, gonna take a walk.
Going to Bethlehem, going to Bethlehem.
Look over yonder and see the wise men on a journey they travel upon. Look over yonder and see the wise men went to Bethlehem by a star. Going to Bethlehem, see that baby, going to Bethlehem, see that child, going to Bethlehem, see that baby, going to Bethlehem, gonna take a walk.
Going to Bethlehem,
look over yonder and see the shepherds watching over their flocks by night. Look over yonder and see the shepherds by the light of a star so bright. Going to Bethlehem, see that baby, going to Bethlehem, see that child, going to Bethlehem, see that baby, going to Bethlehem, gonna take a walk.
Going to
sing heavenly melodies when I see the child.
I'm going to
sing heavenly melodies when I see the child.
I'm going to shout,
shout, shout, hallelujah when I see the child.
I'm going to shout,
shout, shout, hallelujah when I see the child. Oh, going to Bethlehem, see that baby. Going to Bethlehem, see that child. Going to Bethlehem, see that baby. Going to Bethlehem. Gonna take a walk.
Going to Bethlehem,
look over yonder and see the angels from the heavens they come to earth. Look over yonder and see the angels singing praise of a baby's birth.
Going to Bethlehem, see that baby. Going to Bethlehem, see that child. Going to Bethlehem, see that baby. Going to Bethlehem, gonna take a walk.
Going to Bethlehem, going to Bethlehem, going to Bethlehem.
Peace on earth, goodwill to all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.